Thank you. singing with me this morning. Who, where are you, Fiji? Where are you, South Africa? Where are you? Where are you, Detroit? Show up. Where are you, New York? Atlanta, where are you? Who's up shouting and dancing with me this morning? I'm telling you, it's something about that song that gets my motor going. I get up, I do my little dance, I'm all over the place because you know what? I'm just so thankful that we have the opportunity to just hear songwriters put things out in the atmosphere to allow us to give God his praises. And I love to praise the Lord. And as we just continuously, day in and day out, just give him thanks and show him how much he's needed. The praising is showing him how much we need him in our life, how much we love him in our life. And we should never get to the point where we should not stop, where we should always be praying. We should always be shouting. We should always just give God his glory because he is so worthy to be praised. And I just thank you all again for meeting us at our executive meeting where we make God our first priority, where we come to him just to be in his presence, just to show him, Lord, we want more of you. Feed us, Father God. Fill our thirst, Father God. We just thank you this morning for, again, all over this land for coming and being in the midst of the Lord. I sit and say to you, whatever may have taken place last night, a second ago, a minute ago, set it to the side. Command your atmosphere. Let Satan or whatever distractions that's going on around you know that this is my hour, that I am going to tune in with God to hear what he has to say and then apply it into my life. Because God loves us so much that he places different platforms for people to come and learn who he is. Learning who he is, growing into a personal, intimate relationship with him. So I say to you this morning, we thank you for coming in again. Minister Chiquita, if you please bring us into prayer.
Good morning, Evangelist. And good morning, saints. We welcome you again at our executive meeting here with Jesus Christ and the Lord, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, God, again for coming in and ushering us with your spirit and sitting in with us, God. It's truly a blessing, Lord. God, you give us grace time and time again, oh God, even though we did not deserve it, Lord. But gracious God, you are my creator, who has chosen me to be in a relationship with you, oh God. Through Jesus Christ, you have extended grace to me, oh God. By grace, God, I have been saved, oh God. Day by day, oh God, help me to comprehend your grace more and more in my life, oh God. Give me increase, oh God. Let me know, God, by your grace this day so that I can respond to your love by your good deeds, oh God. Your love is amazing, oh God. Your love is amazing, oh God. We thank you, oh God. You have loved me, God, when I was unlovable, oh God. I am amazed, God. I am amazed, oh God. I am amazingly grateful, God, that I know that you and I can experience what a wonderful presence in my life, oh God. Give me this day, oh God, your grace is how I live my life, God, today. Give me wisdom, God, and gentleness, oh God, is how I interact with others, oh God. Make me pure then peaceful, oh God, and gentle, oh God. May I have a mind, God, that is open to reason and show mercy, oh God. In all today, oh God, test, oh God, grant me the wisdom and the grace to be sincere and meek, oh God. We thank you, God, for your pouring out of your grace into us, oh God. As Jesus Christ states, oh God, power time and times of need, oh God. So do I need to remind myself, oh God, your grace is sufficient for me, oh God. Whether in wealth or poverty, oh God, hunger or feasting, God, I will like the apostle, God, both in my weakness. For it is my weakness, Lord, that makes your grace manifest even more in my life. So, God, in my life that so far I have been upheld by this grace, Lord, you supply, God. Thank you, oh God. Oh, Father, praying in your name, Jesus Christ. I praise your name forever and forevermore. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. It is in your name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Minister Chiquita, for your prayer, and we thank God for his mercy and his grace that he gives to each and every last one of us if we believe. Today, that is one of the topics that we will be talking about is grace. I know that it's all through the Bible. It's mentioned in the New Testament over 100 and some odd times, but it is some in the Old Testament, and that's where I'm coming from today, out of the Old Testament, and I'm going to speak on grace. But I looked grace up, and I wanted to, in the word grace in the Greek is pronounced charis, which means favor. In Western Christian theology, grace is the love and mercy given to us by God because God desires us to have it, not necessarily because of anything we have done to earn it. And so what I did was I went into the scriptures, and one of the major places in the Old Testament where I found was profound that God showed the Israelite grace was when he rained manna down. When he rained manna down showed favor. It showed grace and it showed favor because as the word says that it's something that he gives it to us because he loves us, not necessarily because we deserve it. And we know once the Israelites started their exodus, went from Egypt, they complained after being there a month and 15 days. They were in a place where they were just complaining. They were basically saying that, I'm just giving you a backdrop because I'm going to just talk about one particular scripture. They were complaining about where they were before. They had as much meat as they wanted to eat. They had as much bread as they wanted to eat. And now Moses brought them out into the wilderness to starve them to death. And God, of course, he heard these mumblings. He heard them mourning. He heard them just constantly complaining, not paying attention to what God had done for them because of their complaints, because of their mourning. They continued to complain. And one verse that stuck out to me, was 16, Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions." Okay, in that scripture alone, there are two principles that was displayed. One was they would trust God, and secondly, if they would obey him. He said that each day that they had to go out each day to pick up the manna. Also in Matthew 6:11, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." See, even though God can give us, the word of God says that he will give us things exceedingly and abundantly, we have to be in a place. See, people take the scripture and they sit and say, "Well, God said that he would do this and he would do that. He will." But we have to be in a place where we're able to receive it. And these Israelites, they had already shown in their mummery, in their complaining, as we do every single day. We don't look at the fact that God showed us grace. He showed us favor because he woke us up this morning, because so many people did not make it this morning. We don't get to the fact where we sit and say, "God, we thank you because we have a shelter over our head, a roof over our head. We have food in our house. It may not be the food that we want. It may not be the shelter that we want. We have clothes on our body, shoes on our feet." We get up and we still complain. Just like the Israelites did. And see, one thing about God, he gives us, he does, it says in the scripture, he tested them to see if they would follow his instructions. And as we know, it's real hard for people to die to self, or they get into a place where they see something exceedingly and abundantly, and they grab it and they hoard it and they take it and they do different things. That's just us in general in life. But when God gives us explicit instructions, it's for a reason. It's for a reason. One thing about it, the Word of God said that he will provide us with all our needs. We have to be in a place where we're able to trust the Word of God and then apply it into our life. But most of all, secondly, we have to be in a place of obedience. And the Israelites, although God had, he answered their prayers. He answered their complaints. He took them out of their mess. He took them out of their slavery. He took them out of their being mistreated, mental cruelty, their state of depression. He took them out of that. He took them out of a place where they couldn't, where they, even though they were multiplying, but they would never prosper because they had became slaves. And during that process, the whole entire time, they just kept complaining. And on this day, because God heard their prayer, this is what he said to Moses, that he would send down the bread and they ought to pick it up each day. And that's how God does with us. We ask for stuff, we pray for things, and we know that we need it, but he gives us just what we need at that point in time, because he needs to see if we're good stewards. He needs to see if we're going to be obedient to his will in his way, to his explicit instructions, or are we going to go into our self mode and do what self say do. And see, this is, I can only speak for myself. This is where over my years have been pushed backwards. I know the vision. I know the plan that God has for me, because it's something that I've discussed with him. It's something that I've written down. It's something that I'm constantly talking to him about. But I know one thing. I fall short because I get tired of waiting, or I feel like if I sit and I turn this thing this way or turn this thing that way, that it'll make things happen for me. But that's not how God is. God provides to us our needs until we get to the overflow or the abundance. I love that the overflow, I'm not really going to talk into that, because one thing that I was taught by Apostle Temple is we sometimes get the word overflow confused when God is just giving us what we need at that time, what we are able to use and be what we need to equip us at that time. See, the overflow comes in when you become obedient, where you're able to trust God, when you know God, when you're in the comfort of God, when you're following the instructions of God. So I'm not going to sit and say that you and I are in an overflow, because I don't know your situation. But I do know that God will provide your every need, even when you do not even deserve it. That's just how much God loves us. And people, even on today, they didn't back then, and even on today, people do not understand how much God loves us. We don't know the day, neither do we know the hour. We don't never know what God has for us, but we don't know 100%. You know what he told you, but are you doing what you're supposed to do to get to it? Or are you still in a place, because he provided your everyday needs, your need for today? See, this is where the problem comes. We worry about our need for tomorrow, which makes us miss what we received on today. I'm going to say that again. We worry about the needs for tomorrow, the next day. We got to put everything in perfect harmony and have a place of perfection. And that's good if you're in a place where you're trusting God, if you're in a place where you're believing God, if you're in a place where you can be obedient to God's instructions. But for those of us that may still struggle, you don't need to worry about what God is doing for you the next day. You need to worry about what he's doing for you on this day, because he shows us in scripture that he fed them. He sent down the bread to feed them where they will be able to eat for one day. He provided for them for that day. And that's where you and I need to be. You need to worry about, not even worry, be in a place where you're thankful for what God has done for you on this day. And then when tomorrow comes, you again thankful, because, see, you have trusted him to know that tomorrow you're not going to have to be in a place where you're worrying again. Worryation is not of God. That's strictly something man has put into place. That's something that you put into place. That's something that I put into place. Because when you truly love God and you see, you really sit back and reminisce over the things that he has brought you through, even when you didn't deserve it. You can sit and get up just like the song was doing this morning, saying you feel like walking, you feel like shouting, you feel like singing, because you are just so grateful for the grace that he has given you. And that's one thing that we need to start looking at. We need to stop complaining so much and look at the grace, the favor that God has given us. We look for that exceedingly and abundantly, but let's start at a small place and start thanking God for the small things. And as you see the increase in your life, you still continue to thank him. We forget, we overlook the word grace. We overlook favor. We overlook all the different things that God does for us because we so commercialized. We so looking into all the things that surround us or what this person got or this person got. But guess what? God is giving you something that might be even so much greater. He's giving you his love. He's giving you favor. He's excused you from your actions, from the things that you do, from the things that you say, from the things that you just constantly complaining about when he didn't have to do it for you. We, as a people, when the word grace come up, when the word grace come in my spirit, when I tell you I get so humbled because I am so thankful that all of the times that God still carried me through, all of the times when I was in a place where I was drowning, he grabbed my hand and he brought me up. All of the times when I was down in a pit and I couldn't catch my footing to climb up out of that pit, God's grace is what saved me. All of the times that I've been disobedient and not followed the instructions that my physicians give me, God's grace kept me. And I'm so thankful on this day to be able to sit transparently and tell people, if it was not for God's grace, I probably would be dead and gone so many times. But I'm thankful to speak about it today. I'm thankful to sit and say, God, whatever it is that you give me on this day, I will be a good steward of it. I will treasure it, Father God. I will protect it, Father God. And I'm just thankful, Lord Jesus, thankful for whatever it is, whether it's small, whether it's big. Thankful, thankful. I'm just thankful of his grace. Minister Shakita, you want to come in and add some? Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Thankful. Thankful for breath. Thankful for life. Thankful. Hallelujah. I'm just thankful. Hallelujah, God, for your grace, Lord. I'm thank you, Lord, that you sent your only begotten Son, Father God, to there like me, Lord Jesus, even when I didn't deserve it, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your grace, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Minister Shakita, come on in, baby. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, yes, Evangelist.
Hallelujah.
Each morning we have a glorious
hallelujah.
Chance to begin again. And if we made a mistake yesterday, we can start over with a clean slate, with a clean slate. Every new day, every hour, every breath is a chance for us to act better and display more of the fruits of the Spirit. Because of His Spirit, His presence within us, we always have new opportunities to think and do better. Instead of thinking only for me, fearing for others, and instead of being full of anxiety, I can be full of peace and joy. Instead of tapping my foot, I can wait with patience. God's grace gives me the peace and self-control to act with kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. God's grace gives me the freedom to forget about the people's opinion. I can learn to be the person that God created me to be before the lies of the world attach themselves to me. I don't need to impress others. I need to be faithful to God, the one who created me. He always loves me, so I have nothing to prove. We can be free to be children of God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made with a purposeful design to do God's work. Getting to know God through His word helped me to know that I am a purpose. There is a purpose in my life. And when I know it, I can go ahead and live it. And if God set me free, if God's son is set us free, I am truly free. God promised me to be with Jesus, with me at all times. His Holy Spirit will counsel me and prompt me as I go through my days. He is the one who's into each present moment, and those moments lead to glorious futures. Even when I go through trials, and I will, He is there to help me get through those and make the environment around me even better. Jesus, even when there is here on earth, I will have many trials and sorrows, but we take heart. And because He has overcome the world, the unknown is easy to go through. And we have to hold His hand. That's grace. The feeling that I have that we are never alone, and always that grace is a gift. You can't earn it, but you can get a lot of it. It's free and abundant, and you can go to God in heartfelt prayer. He always gives you what you need. Forget about worrying and always getting what you deserve. God's grace is given much more than what you deserve. Your parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? And if you ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Or of course not. So if the sinful people know how to give God good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to give those good gifts to through His grace, those who ask for Him? Lord, this is through you, God, Jesus Christ, that we know that it's your grace that carry us every day, God. You wake us up and you give us breath and you breathe breath over us, God. It's truly a blessing, God, to walk into your light, God. We are not deserving of this, oh God. We fail over and over again, but God, you give us the light and you give us the grace, God. You give us the mercy, God. And it's truly you, God. We know that it's you, oh God. Only you, God, that has this mercy, God. If only if we can turn away from our own ways, God, and give it to you, God. And what is the grace of God? It's to put the good favor and kindness towards you, God. God, you rain, your God, you rain down grace on all mankind. You give us the beauty and wonders of the nature that each and every day, God, you give us you never miss us when accidents are heading our way, God. You often bring us the right things just in time, oh God. And it's also give us the intimate consciousness to know right from wrong, oh God. All these things are coming graces. And everyone born on the earth has the benefits of this grace, God. God, so you love this world, oh God. Before I believed in the Lord, God, you wooed me with these different kinds of graces, God. Beautiful sunrises and sunsets and moments surrounded by God's graces, God. Creations and nations, oh God. Fun and laughter and camaraderie with friends. You also love me, God, with thoughts that if I have anything more in life, something beyond the simple motions, oh God. Life and notions, oh God, life is good. Just being born on this planet incites many benefits, oh God. Oh, but when I became a believer in Christ, I got even more grateful benefits. In fact, believers are blessed with more spiritual blessings in heavenly realms because you are entitled with Christ. Let this be a look of the area, God, that you show us that these are the areas of your grace, oh God, that you show us, oh God.
Amen. 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 One thing I want to sit and say is that sometimes we get discouraged and think that our lives become worthless because we have never learned to trust God one day at a time. I sit and say to you on today, I decree and declare on today that you will get into a place to start trusting God one day at a time. Stop getting into a place where you constantly looking for tomorrow unless you got yourself together, unless you are in a place in God's will, in that safety haven. And if you are up on the wall, if you're standing up on the wall and showing God that I trust you no matter what, Father God, I trust you, Lord Jesus, if I only got a piece of bread in my house, Lord Jesus, but I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I know that your word of God says that you would never leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to get into a place, Lord Jesus, as I used to be, because I've walked out of the oldness into the newness, Lord. So I'm going to continue, Father God, day by day, trust you, Lord Jesus. But every test that you give me, Lord, I'm going to make a conscious decision, because I'm in a place of being focused now, Lord Jesus, where I'm seeing the things that you bring in. I'm seeing the things that you're allowing to take place, Lord Jesus, to see, Father God, if I'm going to allow self to get in the place, or I'm going to let my guide, the Holy Spirit, lead me. And this is where we need to be. We get so discouraged because we don't want to get into a place where we trust the Lord. We always want to continue to trust us. We want to lean on our own understanding and try to fix something that at that very moment may not even be broken God's eyesight. See, we refuse to surrender everything to God. We refuse to just totally lay down. We refuse it. And the thing of it is, God will put us in a place where he gracefully break us. He gracefully break us. We go through this phase where he has broken us to the point where we're so low to all humility. We're in a place of humility, and then he start building us back up. That's where the trust process come into play, where he's building us. He's repotting us. He's putting us in a place, and when we get to that place, our trust on that day-to-day level, but we know. We have to move self out of the way. We know that we have to surrender to God. And see, when we surrender to God, then it's no more evangelist neither. It's the Holy Spirit leading me and guiding me, because now I've died to self. And now I'm trusting the Spirit to lead me and to guide me. And yes, it's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. But as everything, you have to condition the mind. You have to condition the mind, a renewing of the mind. Because one thing we know, that mind has so much going on in it to the point that soon as something don't go right, we start complaining. Soon as we don't feel good, we start bringing things on back on to us. We start the cycle of complaining all over again. Trust in the process, trust in God. It's the number one key component. Because if you can't trust God, then you can't build that relationship. You can't see the things that he has for you. You cannot, not only can you see them, you cannot even understand them. You cannot understand them to apply them into your life so you can reap the benefits. So you can sit and say, yeah, God, I see you today. I see you showing out in my life today. Let me see what you're going to do tomorrow, Father. I see it. I grabbed hold on to it today. But as soon as something goes left or right, you come off that line. You come off of that straight and narrow line. You start, and then you get like the Israelites. Have to continue to walk around a mountain for 40 years. Same old complaints over and over. Not being grateful. Not being thankful. I decree and declare on today that you will take the oldness. You will renew your mind and let go of the things that you have become comfortable with, and allow God, let go and let God show you exactly who he is. Because one thing about it, he does what he says he's going to do, and he is who he says he is. All you need to do is look around and just see the trees, the heavens, the clouds, the rain, the snow, the different seasons that's about you.
look at this. Go back and sit back over your years and sit and talk about the times that you have been in a place where it wasn't nobody but God's grace that brought you out. It's hard, but this is the thing. Who is more important in your life? What is more important in your life? Do you want to stay in a life where you stagnated all the time? Or do you want to be in a place where you're on solid ground so you can reap the exceedingly and the abundantly? Because, see, even with these Israelites, even though God gave them explicit instructions in verse 16, 20, they still went out there. They gathered more. And what took place? It became rotten. It started stinking. It started smelling. And a lot of us don't understand when God gives us explicit instructions why different things start happening in our life. We start, our characters start getting assassinated when we know that we're not doing what we're supposed to see. We're going to get assassinated because we got to pick up our cross and bear it every day. But sometimes we get into messes ourselves and a stench start coming up because we don't do what God has already told us to do. We don't follow the instructions that God has given us. And this is my prayer for today, that we recognize who God is. We recognize that we are not trusting God to the point where we should be trusting him, that we're not reverentially fearing him enough to not do the things that we're not supposed to be. And one of the key things is complaining all the time, complaining about things when you woke up, complaining about things you still got breath in your body. COVID-19 is out here right now in this land, and some people getting attacked by it and don't even understand what's going on, don't even understand what's really happening. But you and I are still here today in a place because we are in the safety net. The prophecy, I got to go back to it, came out and told you to go in your houses and protect yourself, to go into a place of protection. And you followed the instructions. And now today, because you're following the instructions and you're continuing to follow the instructions, you are still in a place of safety. And that's God's grace. Excuse me. That's God's grace. God's grace is still carrying you through. So I sit and say to you today to focus, sit down, pay attention to your life. Pay attention to the things that's coming out of your mouth. Ask God, Father, am I trusting you how you want me to trust you? And if I'm not, Lord Jesus, remove the things that's causing the hindrance and replace them with, equip me, Lord, to whatever it's going to take to get me into a place. Instead of complaining, I'm in a place where I'm day by day growing. Day by day, you're adding on to the different things that you're giving me. And as you're adding, I'm thanking you for it instead of cursing you for it. I'm thanking you for it because the blessings that you've given me. And I'm taking the scales off my eyes, Lord, so I can see what it is that you have for me. We, as a people, must really sit. I want you to go back and look up the word grace. And if you are truly in love with God or seeking him as you say you are, that word will sit and make your heart just bubble. It'll make you bubble just over and over because it says it's something that God don't have to give you. If he gives us his love, even when we don't deserve it. And if you and I are truthful on today, you can sit and say, day by day, there's something going on in your life that you may have fell short on and that you didn't deserve God's love. See, that grace is attached to love. That grace is attached to kindness. That grace is attached to favor. That grace is attached to plentifulness, abundantly, exceedingly. it's attached to. Because as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do, and that's trusting the Lord, believing in the Lord, knowing God, having a personal relationship, being committed, being loyal, being dedicated, being a faithful servant, a good steward over the things that God gives you, God is going to continue to pour blessings on you day by day. And then in the scripture, I'm not going to really go into it. He got to the point where he brought the quail in, the meat. He didn't just leave them with bread. He brought the meat in. He started feeding them more, even when they did not need it, and they did not deserve it. So I don't know who I'm talking to today, or you really understanding what's being said, or I've even maybe possibly confused somebody. But I will, let me break it down to you right quick before we get off the air. When you decide to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, and you accept, you invite the Holy Spirit in to be your lead and your guide, what you need to do is trust. You need to trust. You need to trust God. And then from there, that trust goes into believing, and that believing goes into building. You start building a relationship with him. You start building. You start talking more. You start fasting more. You start praying more. You start consecrating you more. You start using your tongue instead of using for a negative. You start using that power in a positive. You start using it, and you start building. And as you get comfortable, you know God, and you get into a place of comfortability, then when different things go on, you know that God is right there with you. You know that God is going to make the provision for you. And a lot of times, one thing about God, he's not going to give us more than we can bear. Everything is about his timing. What you need to do is, while you're waiting on his timing, is develop yourself in areas that you know that you are falling short on. Because he's already giving you the favor. He's already spared you. He's already overlooked some things. He's already said and said, you could have been gone, but you know what? I see something in you. I see greatness in you. I know what I'm predestined you for. So I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to overlook that because I love you so much. I'm going to go ahead and bring you out. People, please understand the movement of God. Understand what God is doing with us in this season. So many of us, he has shown all of us, each and every person that's under the sound of my voice, no matter where you're at, whether you're in this country, another country, you are in God's land. And he has shown you favor in some type of form or way because you are here on today listening to this broadcast. So please get into a place, a practice, where you're learning to trust God, where you're believing in him. Because without belief, it's no way that you can trust him. Without trust, it's no way you can believe him. Without receiving, it's no way that you can believe him. You have to put all these things together. Without having an intimate relationship, without knowing who he is, without knowing that he is Elohim, our creator, without knowing that he's Jehovah Jireh, our provider, without knowing these things, where would you go? Where would you be? You have to get to a place where you really, really know who God is and stop going by what other people say. Get to know God yourself. Because when you get to know God yourself, when you look out into the world and you look into God's eyes, you see things that you never seen before. You see love. You see beauty. Even if you filled with hatred, that hatred starts falling off of you because you're looking through God's eyes. You're looking at the things that he's looking at. Even though it's ugliness, even though it's chaos, even though it's a web of confusion, well, that's not who God is. And that's your purpose of life. is finding out who God is and allowing him to be the head of your life. So you, too, because we are heirs, we are ambassadors. So that's how we must change ourselves and get to that place of that's where we're, how we're acting. Do not continue to go around complaining about the things when God is making a provision for you. All of us have mountains to climb. All of us have trials and tribulations. All of us have tests that come into our lives. Those tests, those trials, those mountains, it takes you into a place of spiritual maturity. And as you are developing yourself in the Word, God is giving you his grace. I leave you on today with peace, mercy, and grace, knowing that God loves us so unconditionally. His love never fails. He's not sitting and putting damnation on us when we should have been. How he did the different people in the Old Testament, just open up the earth and let them die, just kill them in droves of people, multitudes. No, he sent his only begotten son for sinners like you and I, so we can have those who believe it will have everlasting life. And while you're going through the process, you're going to fail. There are going to be some situations because we do think we are humans. We are humans. We are imperfect humans. The beauty of it is because God examines our heart, because he knows that we are going to make mistakes. He gives us his grace. We ADM loves you, but God loves you best. We pray that somebody on today in this executive meeting received something, but most of all, not to complain. Turn your complaint into a prayer. Turn your complaint into a praise, because there is something that you have to be thankful for, and that's life, that's breath. You are here on today to tell your our Father who art in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. And there's so many different things that you can go down the line and tell God thank you. But most of all, thank him for today. The word for today is grace. Thank him for his grace. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for just being who you are, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your unmerited, Father God, your unmerited grace, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for every time we fell short, Lord Jesus. It could have been the end, Father God. Your grace, Lord Jesus, came in and brought us through, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the small things, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for just loving us so much, Father God, that you never, Father, leave us nor forsake us, Lord, even, Lord, when we're not worthy, Father God, even, Lord, when we caught up in our mess, Father God, even, Lord, when we're not recognizing, Lord, who you are in our lives, Father God, we're not putting you in your rightful position, Lord Jesus, you still right there with us, Lord, giving us grace, Father God, and we thank you for that this morning, Lord Jesus. Leave you with peace, love, and happiness. May grace just abound on you all throughout this day, all through your life, but you recognize. Give God some recognition this morning and thank him for who he is and what he is to you in your life. We'll see you back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Have a blessed day. I love